you're suddenly feeling lifted, gifted, and divine, it might be the energy rolling off today's guest. His bars are thoughtful and bold, served best over beats that give him the freedom to float. New Edison is here to give us the gold and the green tea. New Edison, if you could take your music and turn its essence into a tea, what kind of tea would it be?
First of all, that was a really, really dope intro. I'm happy to be speaking to you guys. I would turn the essence of my music, if I could turn that into a tea, then it would have to be the peach and apricot tea from Woolworths.
Is that the favorite? Like, did you start the day with a cup?
No. I'm actually not drinking the tea right now. It's a little bit of a story that isn't a happy one, but it was something that I had to do. I had to kind of stop drinking tea because it stains my teeth. So, like, I love tea so much, but my dentist basically told me that genetically our teeth stain on my dad's side. So I kind of drink like boiling water now, lemon and water, hot water. That's where I'm at.
Is it like a treat at least, or is it never again?
Oh, no. I do have it once in a while. So this morning I had breakfast. So just basically black tea.
Dude, I actually think it's wild that, you know, there's like, it's a genetic thing that it stains your teeth. Is this like for everyone, or is it just made like in your family?
No, I think it's only some families, you know. So the first time it happened, I mean, I've been drinking tea, like I became an avid tea drinker probably in 2018, 2019. And then the stain only came for the first time last year. And my dad noticed it and he was like, dude, your teeth, why are they staining? And they mostly like stain in the front because when you sip, that's where the liquid touches first. And I think it's mainly because of the caffeine.
Oh, wow, dude, that is crazy.
Yeah. So it's the caffeine that does that, but it's the genetics that determine the degree of stain.
Sure, we learn something new every day, dude. That is absolutely wild. But I guess one of the things that we can be grateful for, though, is that, you know, your music, on the other hand, I know that we were sort of relating the essence of your music to tea.
It
doesn't really stain anyone's ears. I think it's more of a blessing. You know, it's more of a soothing sensation to the ear.
Shout out. No, so for me, like there's many teas that I like, but right now the one that I can think about is the peach and apricot tea, because that's the one that really solidified my love for tea.
And I think it's in line, bro, with how your music sounds. And as I say, it's ultra smooth. How do you actually go? You know how, like, when someone is making tea, there's sort of like a method to it where, you know, you got the water, add the tea bag, sugar if you add sugar, milk if you add milk. How do you go about sort of crafting your music?
Yes. I like to try and control almost nothing and just let my feelings be the guide. So I normally start off with just turning on the music and I'll listen for a couple minutes and immediately just start writing whatever I feel like writing before I conceptualize anything. Because I feel like it can get really difficult to get through a verse if you're already criticizing what you're writing and you're really trying to control the story. So I start off by just writing down first things that come to heart, that come to mind. And basically it gets to a point where I'll finish the verse first and then I'll move towards making it a song, you know? So for me, it really is just about letting go and just following basically my intuition with the music.
As a lyricist, do you have a favorite word to rhyme with, like a go-to that just seems to fit with most things that you're thinking of or putting out?
So I must tell you, like, it's crazy because I don't know. I would like to know if any other rapper experiences this or writer. But I think for me, when I first started, like, really writing, and I think when I started getting into making music, there were words that I always went to. And I can't think of them right now, and I'll tell you why. And it's because I've been trying to train myself to move away from that kind of thing, because you can get really comfortable with repeating words, never mind throughout a song, but throughout a project, you know. And I've noticed it with many rappers, actually. Like, they'll take a word like oxidize or melanin, and you'll hear it like 4 or 5 times, you know, in maybe a song or in a project. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, But I think for me, it became cringy in the sense that I felt like I needed to expand my vocabulary more, find newer ways to describe the same thing. So yeah, I feel like right now I can't think of the word. Actually, I can think of it. I would say it's light. It's such an important part of my message that I need to refer to it so much that I am tempted to say the word light so much. So that's why I try to find different ways to say that word, you know?
But now, are you trying to sort of like remove it completely? Because I feel like this is also, it's similar to what goes on when we're doing interviews, I think, as well. Like, for example, Mies always points out that I always say, you know, like that's my thing, you know, and it's like a subconscious thing.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I hear you.
And if I had to now try and control that, like right now, and try not to say it, I think it would make things very difficult. So are you on a mission to try and remove life completely, or are you still going to maybe use it like sporadically?
So the word is light, and I don't want to remove it. No, I'm not trying to eradicate it. I'm just trying to diversify the way. So if we're having a conversation, it's cool. It's just a conversation. I can say light as many times as I want. It's just the word light, you know, it's cool. But in the song or in a project, I'd like to think that I'm probably going to want to convey my messages and convey my stories in different ways, but I'm basically saying the same thing. You know, I mean, it essentially that is what music is, you know, it's doing the same thing, but in new and different ways. So I'm not trying to eradicate light. I'm just trying to give it, make it more exciting and also maybe more palpable, like to different demographics too, actually, you know, because people gravitate to different things, you know, even though it means one thing at the end of the day. So I guess I'm just trying to diversify without controlling too much. I think it was a problem that I identified quite some time ago. And I think since then, it's not really an issue anymore. I think just to answer Megan's question, it was just that I feel like that was the word that really started getting to me, because at the end of the day, that's my truth. You know, my name is Lita. My first name is Lita. And Lita means light in Xhosa, in my language. So I'm always going to talk about the light. You know, it's just that for me, I like to like spice things up and give them new flavor, you know.
Do you ever feel the same way about maybe your cadence or your flow, where it's a tussle between having that stylistic like impression on people where they can tell this is a new Edison flow versus like becoming repetitive or stagnant in your own creativity?
So, yeah, that's a really dope question. So for me, like, one thing when I made the decision to do this thing like full time, you know, even though it's my third time doing it full time, but pursuing it as a career option and, you know, fulfilling my dreams, I think the first thing I wanted to make sure is that I wanted to be myself. And I won't lie, my perspective of that has changed a lot. Because I mean, I started making music when I was like 22. So I'm 29 now. And I feel like it wasn't intentional. The only intent I had, and I'll reveal now what wasn't intentional. The only intent I had was to remain this conscious rapper. And I put that in like quotation marks, but like this conscious rapper who speaks the truth, you know, basically just remaining authentic to my message and who I am to my core as New Edison. And I feel like it's okay, you know, it's really dope to be like that kind of conscious, intellectual, soulful kind of rapper or artist. But you actually need to entertain people as well. So for me, I wanted to keep it authentic, have my fabric, but also just make sure I keep it fun. What culminated was just a result of that. And now I can say comfortably that I don't think I sound like anyone else. I don't think anyone sounds like me, you know. but that wasn't my intention. I just wanted to make music, and I wanted to make good music. Because, you know, when I was doing this music thing, you know, I was in university the whole time, so I didn't really have a lot of time to do this music stuff. You know, I had to do it behind closed doors and hide it from my parents and stuff. But when I got the opportunity to do it, some of the things that came up was like, I realized that I can layer vocals, you know. So I started layering vocals, and that's one of the things that stand out, you know, in the way that I deliver certain messages through my hooks and my verses. And yeah. So, yeah.
You know, you did say there, bro, that you started this when you were 22 and now you're 29. So in the 7 years that you've been doing this, you know, at which stage did it actually click for you? Which stage did you actually realize that, okay, this is my actual sound?
Well, I mean, look, I started writing when I was 17. And 2015, I had to take a break from music completely because I failed first year. My parents weren't too chuffed about that one. So 2016 is when I touched the music again. I mean, I never really stopped, you know, but like to them, I stopped. But like to really like start doing it. For me, it was when I dropped the 80 EP. And I think that was 2017. Yeah. So 2017 is when I decided, okay, that's the first time I got people into it. Like, obviously my bedroom, but I'm going to call it a home studio. And we just kind of like four or five guys put our heads together. My close friend and producer, Tsukudu, we were in high school together. So we've been making music together for years. But when we decided to actually drop a project under New Edison, and 2017 is when I changed my name. Okay, so there we go. So 2017 is when I changed my name from Leezy, or whatever it was at the time, because it was a lot of things, to New Edison, to kind of just officiate this decision to pursue this career path. So yeah, 2017, when I dropped the 80 EP, that was when I decided this is what I want to do.
Considering the fact that you said that you hid your music, in a sense, when you were younger, and that you've typically worked in home studios. I've even heard you mention that you like to record alone. Do you think those two things are connected? And how do you think that has contributed to the energy that you bring to the take?
So for me, it definitely is a big connection. So I started releasing music on SoundCloud. I mean, all I used was, like, I put my earphones into my laptop and I rapped directly into GarageBand. So there was nothing mastered. There was nothing mixed. It was just, like, pure. I was just really trying to oil the chain, so to speak. You know, I was just trying to make sure that I honed that talent, that skill. And, I mean, I think I got the skill of it before, like, you know, before I really got, like, the message, because I needed to like really locate who I was and what I stood for. But for me, I think I spent like all my time in my bedroom making music. This is before I even had equipment, you know. So I was always in my room, always under a blanket to try and like, you know, get the right acoustics. And yeah, I eventually got a home studio in 2019. That was the first time I ever had equipment. But before that, I was always making music in, like, let's say, Tsukudu's bedroom. Or, actually, Tsukudu's the only person. And most of the time, it's just the two of us. So, like, yeah, I'm mostly by myself. And I feel like it's got a double-edged sword, because it's made me very resilient, you know, very self-reliant. I record myself. I layer my own vocals, you know, I do things like that for myself. But it has also obviously subconsciously made me quite controlling over the creative process, you know, and when you're alone too much, you don't really have that many like opinions to maybe just, you know, give you a different side of what you might be hearing, you know. So I learned a lot of lessons that way, that I needed to spend more time with people. I mean, and I've been doing it more actively in the last 6 to 8 months, because since I've been to like a songwriting camp. I've been to two songwriting camps, one here and one in Cape Town. And that was purely to be like, to step out of the space of a rapper and also to step out of my own space. I mean, I know what I'm capable of. I know how I am when I'm by myself. So I wanted to step into a space that was different, uncomfortable, you know, very, very fast paced. You know, the one in Cape Town was really, really different because I was in rooms with people, lots of people. Right. So that means like people are watching me rap. and I'm not a one take wonder. I take a lot of takes because I'm very pedantic about the way I sound. You know, my delivery, I can get borderline obsessive with my delivery. But I think I'm trying to be less hard on myself, you know, about those things. Because at the end of the day, I realize that what I'm hearing and what people are hearing is different. It's two different things, you know. So being in those rooms with those people kind of taught me just different ways you can be a songwriter, different ways you can be an artist, and different ways that you can be influenced. Because when you're by yourself, sometimes you got to give. I mean, look, I'm very thankful that my music sounds good sonically. And I think that comes from my ear and the kind of music that I like and just the way I listen to music, you know. But I also think that when you're by yourself, it can be quite difficult because you need to get yourself into a certain zone. And sometimes to reach that particular zone is not easy. You know, when you're with people, you're feeding off other people's energy. So it's like, it's a vibe, you know, it's very easy to just tap into that pocket and you just immediately like just vibe off everything, you know, and everything flows much quicker. So I would say when I'm by myself, the creative process is a lot longer, a lot more relaxed. When I'm with other people, it's a lot less relaxed, so a little bit more pressure, but it's a lot easier. So you see, it really is like just depends who you're asking. But from my perspective, I think I'm trying to be malleable enough to fit in both situations.
Dude, the way that you broke that down, man, so many gems, you know, within that answer. Obviously the retreat, you obviously mentioned Utubudu in there, and that's a key point, bro, that I'd like to follow up on, because obviously on Sludge you've had so many, you know, stories of how these greats have sort of come together, you know, like Money Badu and Saucy, like how Ava Like Love and Ganja Beast made up. So how did you and Utubudu actually link up?
So Tsuguru and I have actually known each other since like grade 9. So I went to St. Stevens Boys College. And Tsuguru arrived later that year. Kind of like, he just transferred from a different school. And we weren't really close, actually, to be honest with you. He was a boarder. I was a day scholar. But he was really close with my cousin, Mdu is actually, he is like an original member of EMG and Kuda. So they were all in boarding house together. And they like, you know, boarders have a different life. They have different routines throughout the day, you know. So for me, I would just go to school and go home or go to my extramurals and go home, you know. So, but it wasn't until grade 10, 11. I mean, in grade 10, I was hearing, these guys were in the choir, by the way. I was in the choir for like a hot minute, but they were in the choir, they were in chamber boys, they were like serious stuff, a cappella groups and stuff, right? And I knew that they did music. They were arts and cultures. I didn't really like institutions, so I didn't participate much. I just played sport because I knew there was a sport comment. So I did my thing with the sports, but I wasn't really enthusiastic, so to speak. So, like, these guys, one day, like, I decided to go to the boarding house. And the house that they were in is Colin's house. So I go there and I get to one of the rooms. And there they are, Kuda, Mdu, and Tsukudu. And Tsukudu's there and there's this program open. And I hear that it's GarageBand. So I'm like, okay, cool, GarageBand. Can make what? You can make music? That's fire, you know? And then these guys just start rapping. But like the same way that I learned to rap was with the earphones literally in the laptop. And you just like rap straight into the screen. And they did that. There was this song called Relaxing. And I walked in during that session. And at that time, they had already been taking this quite seriously. You know, I was another guy called Taku. And Taku was also a really dope black rapper. And these guys were just like to me, dude, you're just going to sit here. I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm hanging out with you guys. And this looks interesting. Like, it's good. It's a good literally turned around, threw me his phone, and he says to me, dude, just write a verse there quickly. So I was like, dude, I don't rap, you know? But I've always been obsessed with hip hop and music. So I just decided to try, you know, with my knowledge of what I've heard, you know, in my favorite hip hop songs by my favorite hip hop artists. I just kind of like followed rhythm. And I was just like, you know what, let me try to write a verse, you know? And I wrote that verse, don't remember it now, but literally since then, since that very day, Tsukudu and I have been musically inseparable. We have literally the most amazing chemistry. Like, he knows what I'm thinking and I know what he's thinking. And it's like, we also know what we both lack. And we feed off of that, you know, because I'm vulnerable enough with him to just teach me some new things that I don't really understand, you know, or may not really have the tools to tap into, you know. So I learned some stuff from him. He learned some stuff from me. And we've really like built this kind of musical relationship that is quite seamless in terms of chemistry. But it has been difficult, you know. I think we're still trying to like reconnect and reconnect on a musical level because we both follow different paths. You know, Tsukudu's always been there for the music and he is my business partner at the end of the day. But he did do the school route, he did his master's and he was away for a while. I mean, he only moved back to Johannesburg for the first time since we left high school and we both 29. So you can imagine. So like, you know, he's very involved. He is my executive producer all the time, you know, but behind the scenes, it's quite crazy. And I think maybe that also helped us, you know, we're quite flexible in the way we can communicate. And we've been making music remotely all these years, you know, and now we're doing music in the same rooms for the first time in 10 years. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's 100%, bro. So a follow up. So you mentioned there in your answer that there was this collective, you know, EMG. So tell us a bit more about that there, how that came about and who the members are. I think you actually did mention some of the members, bro. So just go in depth with that one.
So EMG, like, it's taken many shapes and forms, but it really started off, really, really, really started off with Mdu and Tsukudu. So Mdu and Tsukudu went to Rhodes University. They actually became a rap duo called Elastic Band. And they, like, really killed shit for a while, like, in Grahamstown during the arts fest and just campus vibes and everything. And I even went to go visit them, actually, to go watch them for one of the gigs. And I ended up performing with them, actually, at a club that night. It was really, really dope. But so they were in the music thing, like, heavily. Like, for me, I wasn't even anywhere near where they were. Like, cool, I mean, I had done a project. We can't, I mean... So I did a project when I was still I Blame Yeezy, and it was called The First Chapter. But I wouldn't say I was doing anything serious. I would think I was just having fun with it. I didn't even see a future with it. I won't even lie. But I just knew that I was going to be doing it for as long as I want to, you know. So Mdu and Tsukudu were like on a more serious level, and they inspired me so much in that regard. And I feel like for me, they kept me going because whenever I couldn't like really go perform or really go and record a proper project or a proper song that's mixed and mastered, you know, they were doing that thing and I was like doing it vicariously through them. But I knew that one day I was going to do this thing as well. And, you know, it wasn't long until they were like to be like, dude, you know, like, what is up? What do you want to do? And I could see that, especially Mdu. So Mdu and Tsukudu are the original members of EMG, which is Elastic Music Group. And that actually, I don't know if you know, you've heard of her, but now she's more in the business space of the industry. Her name is Vuyo, and I think her name was just V as a singer at the time. But her name is Vuyo Genene, and she's like actually part of Sony now. But she was part of EMG. She is actually an original member of EMG. So it was myself, it was her, Mdu, and Tsukudu. So when Elastic Band was coming to an end, I was just like, me and the guys were just really were like, okay, dude, but we've got to have like an Elastic Music Group because we're just doing a lot of music camps And I think that kind of forged the relationship that we had at the time, you know, and we also had just some loose members too at the time. But then eventually Vuyo went her own way. She had different plans, you know, it was like a mutual thing. It was really, really no beef. It was chilled. And because we just really had to like remind people that, you know, you don't have to be here. Like, you just be here because you want to. Because at the end of the day, we all have like a lot going on in our lives, and music isn't the main focus, you know. And that was what was happening at the time. And basically, Vuyo went out on her own, and then it was just me, Tsukudu, and Du, right? Du got really, really absorbed into the political side of Rhodes. I think it's the BMF. And basically, it's the BMF on a varsity level, on a university level. And he was heading up some of those things, and they were doing tours, and it was getting quite demanding in terms of time. And I think he started to see himself in a different light. And for him, like, music's always been a passion, and music is a part of him, but it wasn't what it became for me, you know? And for him, he told us a long time ago that, you know, he's going to do a different thing with his life, but he'll always be there for us, you know? So we always just call him EMG family, you know? He is the original member, but EMG is myself, is Tsukudu. There's a guy called Sia. Now, Sia is the guy who's basically, he's done all my cover arts up to Pluma. So I released some things before the streaming platforms came along, you know, and it was mostly on SoundCloud. And any cover art that I did or I needed, he did for me. And I actually have a song called Stay True. He produced that with Cayman. Cayman is another member. So Cayman is my engineer slash, but he's also a producer, and he lives in London. So actually, Cayman found me on Instagram. And the way he came to me was amazing. He was just like, yo, bro, I love your music. You have the makings of a great artist, but you're missing something. And I was like, what? And this guy said, me. And I was like, that's very impressive. Okay, well, I actually am dropping a song soon. It's called Saturated. And please, could you like show us what you can do, you know, with the mixing and mastering? Because before that, Tsukudu was mixing everything. And that's not really his strength, but it's something that he could do as well. So came and mixed Saturated for the first time. And that literally, since then, he's mixed and mastered everything. So came in as EMG. We've got Steezy McLovin. He is definitely a rapper from Durban originally. But he's back and forth, more between Eastern Cape and Durban, but sometimes in Joburg. So him and J6. J6 is the other member. He is, I call him Jazzy though. So Jazzy and Steezy joined EMG together. They were introduced to me by Tsukudu. So they met Tsukudu because of Grahamstown, basically. So J6 is from PE, and Steezy McLovin is from Durban. So that's how they linked. But Steezy was at Rhodes at the time, so that's how they linked to the Eastern Cape. Tsukudu, actually, I'm remembering now, Tsukudu was like, dude, you need to hear these kids, you know? And J6 is basically, he's a producer, insane. Like, really, really, really talented. He produced on Shine and he produced on Crash. So yeah, shout out J6, shout out Steezy, shout out Cayman, shout out Sia, shout out EMG. I think that's all the members actually. Yeah, so that's EMG right now. But to give you an official stamp, I would say to you, you would mostly be seeing me. Like, I'm like the face. Yeah, I'm the face. Not to say that I'm the head of EMG or anything, even though it's like mine and Tsukudu's company, because it's our company at the end of the day. But I would say that if you see us in the streets, you'll see myself, J6, and you'll see Steezy McLovin. But you won't really see that much of Tsukudu. Tsukudu will make appearances here and there. I haven't even met Cayman yet, you know, but we talk all the time, you know, and I just know I'm going to go that side and meet him, and he wants to come this side too. So when we link up too with him, you know, there's just a lot that still needs to unravel and develop. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all divine timing, you know.
Are you the Beyonce of the group, as people would say?
I would say there's a couple Beyoncés, bro. You know, not to sound too diplomatic, but like I feel like I'm a Beyoncé in my regard, in my way, because like no one in the group can do what I do. No one in the group can do what Tsukuru does. No one in the group can do what J6 does. You know, so same for Steezy and Cayman. I think we all. Let me explain this to you. Actually, Elastic comes from our style, like, and the lack thereof. And when I say that, it means like we're like undefined. So versatile that it's like it's limitless, kind of infinity vibes. You know, we don't take a shape or a form. You know, we stay malleable with our music. I mean, of course, you'll be able to recognize us, you know, when you hear our music because of the production styles and some of the rapping styles and the, you know, but at the end of the day, we don't like to really stick to one thing. You know, we just want to make sure that everything remains Elastic. So everyone offers an element to Elastic that the other person does not have, you know, but could use, you know, could use it, which is why we work really well. You know, it's just life hasn't always agreed with us in terms of us always like all being together at once. But, you know, it's cool. Like we're learning to just be more patient with that one.
As I pass on to Megan, I just want to say, bro, in passing, that I'm such a huge fan of how, like, well fleshed out your answers are.
Shout out, bro. Shout out.
You know, I feel like we're getting a complete picture here. You know, we're learning about, you know, your journey.
Thanks, dog.
Like, it's incredible, man.
I love to talk.
I keep hearing how seeing other people work has inspired you. So who are the people that you want to be an example for?
First of all, I really, really, for me, it took a long time to really reach a state of awareness and to like know who I am and what I am. And like, I've expressed, like, you know, to a lot of people my experiences with being aware and remembering how it was when I was unaware, you know. And like, I wouldn't say, you can't really say that, like, you can say there's a better side. It's better to be aware, but I wouldn't say there's an easier side. It actually gets harder. But I want to be an example to people who are like fearless, you know, in just being authentically themselves. Like, there's nothing that is worth your well-being and your mental health. You can't trade that for anything, because at the end of the day, we are human beings and we really just want to feel good. We want to feel loved, you know, and we want to feel loved for who we are. And we can't do that if we're trying to please people all the time. Like, please people to a certain degree, of course, you know, there needs to be like an understanding. You can't overextend yourself in any way. So I want to just inspire people to fearlessly chase spiritual health, you know, spiritual awareness, and just don't be afraid to be vulnerable. You know, vulnerability is strength at the end of the day. That is the truest form of strength, because if you're going to hold back or suppress or pretend, you may as well be ingesting a ticking time bomb, because like you're going to explode at some point. And there's nothing that you can fake for too long. You can't. Like, there will be a point where something gives. So you may as well fearlessly be that person, and be that person through whatever you do. Find your purpose, find your passion, and protect it. And a lot of the time, I mean, even myself, like, get caught up with like getting used to things that already exist, you know, or everything you create needs to look like something that already is here, you know. And it takes more like courage, and it takes more energy and more life to create something that no one has ever seen before. And you can only do that if you yourself, because at the end of the day, there's only one version of you. So yeah, man, that's what I would like to be an example of just true authenticity.
Sorry, man, while we're on awareness, would you say that the eye of Horus on your hand is a not to that?
Yeah, Yeah. So on the right side, I have Horus, and on the left, I have Ra. And for me, the main reason why I got these, besides the metaphor of just of sight, but for me, I got these because I feel like I represent both sides. You know, I represent the darkness and I represent light. And I learned to embrace that darkness is a form of light. You know, it just may be the darkest shade of light. It doesn't get any darker than the darkness, right? But it's a form of light and you can use it if you embrace what it is, you know, and embrace that you are, that's what you are. At the end of the day, you know, you're a culmination of that duality, you know? So for me, being aware is accepting that you are also ugly. You are also, you have the capabilities, you have the ability to do something terrible, you know? This is why awareness is important, because you're not exempt from anything. As human beings, we are limitless, bro. Like, and it's limitless up and down. So for me, my journey is about, it's about seeking balance. And that takes, I think it's going to take my whole life, you know, and I'm cool with that.
When it comes to awareness of the self, I get how that is one side of the praxis, because there's also awareness of the collective. As we see new generations of rap and hip hop go from like micro genre and subculture to mainstream, how important do you think it is to know the history of the genres that you're working with?
I think it is important. I think it's important. Like, actually, the funny thing is, yesterday I met with somebody who's working on a documentary of someone who's quite prominent in South African hip hop, Pro Kid, right? And Pro, this guy that I was speaking to yesterday was telling me that, because he's from America, and this American, he was saying to me that people, they get, oh, so at Howard University, South African hip hop is a topic, right? It's a course. So they were saying that they only understand the history of hip hop, of SA hip hop from 2009, which is like super late. So, you know, that's why I think Pro's documentary, part of that is to serve the purpose of filling that gap, you know? So for me, I think like, it depends what you're in it for. Some people just want to make music for money. In that case, it doesn't really matter who did what in the past, who started what, you know? But if you're really a student of the game and whatever genre you want to do, but like, we'll talk about hip hop. If you're a student of the game and you're a fan, like a true fan is from a listener's perspective, you know, it's only natural for you to want to go and learn every single thing about that art form. There is no way. Because the thing is like, and I know like anyone who's obsessed with becoming the best, especially in hip hop, is well informed, you know, and it's about being able to participate in certain conversations. Being able to obviously substantiate your views or your perspectives. But I think more than anything, the most important thing is that it can literally turn you into a monster, because it almost becomes like your vitamins, dude. Like, it's like what you need, you know, in order to reach the next level, in order to harness that level of ambition, that level of authenticity, you know, that emotion, you know, it hip hop is a large part of hip hop is about emotion, you know, so you got to study that. You got to know that, you know, you got to know that hip hop is about what you say comes from the heart, you know. So I think, to answer your question, I think it is important, yeah, but it depends on what your intention is, and it depends on what your purpose is with whatever you're trying to do, you know, with the music. You know, because at the end of the day, if you're just trying to really make an income and it's like you saw someone can, oh, you realize that, oh man, I can do this. I don't really care, but I can do this. Let me just make money off it. Let me 9-to-5 it, you know, then it doesn't really matter, actually. So yeah, it depends.
Earlier on, bro, we touched on, you know, letting go of some of those habits, like when you mentioned, you know, not wanting to repeat certain words. which is a question that was brought about by Megan. And then I'm looking at the song Let It Go, where, you know, you mentioned on there that there are certain habits that you want to lose. What specifically were you talking about in there? And also, as a follow-up to that as well, maybe you can combine these, and that you also mentioned in that song that, you know, you got to free your pain. So what pain is this that you're going through, bro, or that you were going through at that time?
So at the time, I would say like that's actually around the time my spiritual journey started. So basically the journey to like just self. And I mean, that was really tough for me. I come from a background of always trying to be someone else. Because I always thought like, especially with alcohol, I thought like intoxicated me was more likable. So, I mean, I faked it. I mean, I only quit alcohol this year, to be honest with you. You know, so for many years, I tried to be this person that I wasn't, because I felt that like the true version of myself wasn't good enough. I didn't really understand what made me tick. I didn't really know who I was really, because all I ever sought was attention. All I ever wanted to like, I just wanted to belong, you know, wanted to be cool. And I grew up in Johannesburg. So like I was in those kind of circles where if you wanted attention, you could get it, you know? And unfortunately, like there's a huge culture of like men don't really know how to be vulnerable, you know, or even young boys, you know, they struggle to be vulnerable with each other. So that's not really something that your friend would tell you if they could see that, hey, dude, that's not really you, bro. Like, why are you doing that? You know? So I come from a place where, yeah, a lot of pretending, a lot of pretentious stuff, a lot of faking it. And like, I didn't even like alcohol, man. You know, so I would always drink, not for enjoyment. I'd drink just for the sake of being intoxicated. But then I get intoxicated and literally I have this like conflict. It's almost like a spiritual battle with myself in that moment, you know, almost like a social anxiety kind of thing, because I realize that what I'm doing is artificial, you know, and then it really is quite bad. It can be quite terrible. So I did that for many years, and Crash is the project that made me like quit alcohol. In fact, Crash the song. Like at the moment I finished the third verse, I was like, why would I do this anymore? Because it dims my light. And I can't really fulfill my purpose if I'm doing these things that really don't agree with my spirit, you know, and the journey that I'm trying to lead. So yeah, man. So to answer your question, that was the pain. And the catalyst for all of this was alcohol. So the habits were like being pretentious and not really knowing how to tell people what is on your mind, you know, getting nervous over really, really futile things, you know. And like since then, it's like it's crazy. You know, I love it, like the space that I'm in, because now I'm fearlessly speaking my truth. I've lost a lot of people, but it's not a sad thing, because it's like, you know, you realize with this journey that not everybody can stay for the ride, you know? So it's either, you know, like, for example, like, I don't know if you've experienced this. You'll have a loved one and you will all of a sudden, like for many years, like you've been this kind of person and they understand you to be that kind of person. And next thing you flip the switch and all of a sudden now you stand up for yourself and you speak with your chest out, you know, and you're proud and you're quite firm and your voice is not shaking. And all of a sudden they look at you like you're crazy, you know, and you can't blame them. But at the end of the day, they need to accept that that's who you are. And I promise you, bro, you'll always know, you'll always be able to measure how much someone cares about you by choosing yourself before them. Because how they respond to that will give you everything that you need to know. You know, because at the end of the day, bro, you come first, bro. I mean, of course, God, and then you. So, yeah, man, that's my answer.
So considering Light Bloomer was an introduction, and now you've just sort of said that Crash is almost like a reintroduction.
Oh, yeah.
How do you How do you sort of manage expectations from people who are maybe looking for a sequel to your conceptual projects when maybe you want to move on creatively?
I don't feel as much pressure as I used to, because now I'm really doing this thing for, like, I know I'm in control of it. I do it when I feel like I need to do it. And like, I really don't, I mean, I love making music for the fans and the listeners. I mean, that's really dope, you know, but we need to be very careful as musicians, or actually any artist, you know. Our fans don't have the power or the right to dictate how we maneuver and how we express ourselves. That's where the danger lies, you know, for me at least. So for me, I think I do this for me first. Like, you know, I serve my purpose first. It's my higher power. It's me, my enjoyment. You know, I make music that I would like to listen to, you know. But of course, to say that my fans are number three on the priority list, you know, it's not to say that I ignore them, you know. So I know what they enjoy. So I always try to appeal to them through how I approach a song, through what I say and how I say it, you know, because there's 1,000 ways to say something, you know. So I always try and put things together that seem appealing, or that is more appealing for a certain demographic or multiple demographics, you know? So yeah, no, I feel like for me, I don't really, the pressure has gone down substantially, but there will always be there'll always be some kind of like pressure, because, you know, you do care about this, you know, at the end of the day, it's something you care about. And I mean, we're not going to be in denial, and we're not gonna like disregard the fact that our fans can make or break us. No, that's fact. They can do that, you know. And when I say make or break us, make or break the career, you know. But at the end of the day, I think that if you keep its balance again, you know, you just need to try and like find the right rationings, you know, to feed those departments or those dimensions of what you're trying to do with the music, you know?
Solid. Bro, this has been, it's actually been enlightening, if I may say so.
You guys have been awesome, bro. No ways. Your questions are crazy.
There's so much behind this. Like, yo, I mean, the project, like the music speaks for itself. Like, you can tell that there's a lot going on that goes into making it. But yo, this has just been absolute quality.
Yeah, and like, I'll tell you guys, you know, I'll tell you guys, because this is probably, this might be the best interview I've ever done, to be honest with you. Just in the way that the questions are asked, there's a lot of like specific things. So I'm actually going to release in November. I'm trying to drop in November. But it's not an official, how do I say this? It's a new Edison release. But it's not just my project. It's a collaborative project with a producer from Australia. And he's someone I've worked with before. And I think I'm going to stop talking now.
Are you dropping us a sneaky, exclusive there, bro? Like, you're hearing it first on Sludge Underground.
I actually haven't told anybody, bro. So Sludge got it first. I haven't told anyone. This is something that I want to like really just release, because me and the producer have been wanting to do something together for some time, and actually he produced on Crash, so that's another clue, so you could just maybe guess, you know. But he's really, really, really talented, and I think he's even like, I could even say a kindred spirit, you know, in a sense, even though we've never met, but like, you know, we have the same name, which is like insane. And he's super young, like he's probably 10 years younger than me. But we level on like a very, very, like, it's just, it feels like we're on the same eye level. So, yeah, man, maybe I can give you, I can even give you the name of the project, bro.
Oh, wait, quickly drop it for us, bro. Let us in on it.
All right, cool. So the name of the project is Mirror Dimension. Yeah, you'll listen to the project. It's self-explanatory, and I'm trying to drop it in November. just keep watching the socials, because I'm going to start announcing things about it soon. And yeah, guys, thank you so much, bro. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Thank you so much for joining us, man. And you mentioned socials there. Where can people sort of find you on social media?
@new_Edison on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
That is awesome, bro. What's your favorite new Edison song?
My favorite new Edison song. Shit, bro. You asked me the wildest question at the end. You know what? If I'm being 100% honest, I'm going to have to go with Rain.
Away. So you guys are going to be closing out with Rain. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the new Edison. We're super grateful, you know, he joined us on the show. For all things Sledge Underground, our website is www.sledgeunderground.com. Until next time, it's bye for now.
Eddie for sure, bitch. Yeah. All right. Sometimes I feel like a fraud. Wasn't secure as a boy. I look up to the gods. Oh goddess, Eddie, come down, you got this. Wasn't always this honest. Did anything for acknowledgement. I got it, wasn't enough. I wasn't given the love I required to. Her feelings expired too. My dude, I lost it, then I got low with them, found the door and I opened up. Zeroed in on the main source and I dug it up. Hey, I lost so many parts of me, I hate growing up. But I got through with love. Hey, I'm devoid of all control, I'm a free soul. Don't get me wrong though, still at war with myself. And I'm still in the ring, I must be winning I guess. No, we ain't scared of no failure, we keep retaking the test. And I don't care how long it takes, I got a city to rep. I got a message to share, you smell the God in the air. We about to witness the power, I think the rain on the way. Like, oh yeah, I smell the rain, yeah, yeah.
It's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain, I can feel it in
my heart that night.
I hear the rain,
and I hear it in my soul.
It's gonna rain, I can feel it.
It's gonna rain.
I smell the rain, yeah, yeah.
I smell the rain.
It's gonna rain, I can feel it
in my heart that night.
It's gonna rain,
and I feel it in my soul.
I feel the rain,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ay, I can't deny this, ay. No, my musical scriptures gon' say some lives and shit. And this ain't cockiness, confidence I exude, ain't no stopping this. Sometimes I get nervous and only show you the surface, but deep down I reek of light, combust, release sounds of truth. I represent the youth, and deep down life ain't no daffodil. Some people die inside before they learn to live, but we don't ever give up. Ay, that ain't no option. Look, when you feel pain, you gotta stand in the rain. No, this ain't new edition, more like new Edison. Bend the light like refraction. Money is nice, but I rely on the passion. Look in my eyes and you can tell I'm gonna be massive. It's just a matter of time. As a matter of fact, I know the power is mine. I see it changing the weather, whether you like it or not, it will rain. I smell the rain, yeah, yeah.
It's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain, I can feel it
in my heart that night.
I hear the rain,
and I feel it in my soul.
It's gonna rain, I can feel
it's gonna rain.
I smell the rain, yeah, yeah.
I smell the rain.
It's gonna rain, I can smell it
in my heart that night.
It's gonna rain,
and I feel it in my soul.